Today, we're going to be talking, or actually for the next 2 weeks. Lately, I've been given little 2, 3, 4 week series. Today is a 2 week message on a rabbi's journey to Messiah. You're going to hear about somebody here. It's an amazing story. And it also deals with prophecy from the book of Daniel. So a rabbi's journey to Messiah. As part of their morning devotions, observant and religious Jews have recited for centuries what's known as the 12th article of the Jewish principles of faith that was written by Rambam, also known as Maimonides. And most of us here are very familiar with this 12th article of the Jewish principles of faith because we enjoy singing it here and we enjoy dancing to it here. In fact, the men come over here and dance it by themselves and the women are over there dancing by themselves. And remember the words are Ani Ma'amin Emunah Shelima Beviat HaMashiach Ve'af Al Pi Sheyad Manmea Im Kol Zeh Achakei Lo Bechol Yom Sheyavo. You remember that? Everyone goes, what did he say? Remember, Ani Ma'amin Ani Ma'amin Be'emunah Shelima Beviat HaMashiach. Y'all, you remember that? Well, that is that I believe with perfect faith in the coming of the Messiah. And though he tarries or he waits, yet I will wait daily for his coming. So why does the Messiah tarry? Why is there a pause? Why is there a wait? Most Jewish people are waiting for the first coming or the coming of the Messiah. We who are believers in the Messiah, hopefully everyone in this room, we're waiting eagerly for his second coming. But why does he tarry, as it says in this 12th principle of faith? And when will he come? Now, these were very important questions which continually agitated Rabbi Leopold Cohn's mind. Now, for those of you who don't know who Rabbi Leopold Cohn was, he was actually the founder of Chosen People's Ministry. And one day, while he was poring over a volume of the Talmud, which are the Jewish commentaries on the scriptures, he came upon this following citation, this verse that was written in the Talmud. And it said this, "The world will stand 6,000 years. There will be 2,000 years of confusion, that is, without the Torah. There's going to be 2,000 years under the law or with the Torah. And then there's going to be 2,000 years of the time of Mashiach, of the time of the Messiah." So Rabbi Cohn knew that according to the Talmudical reckoning, the Messiah should have come long ago. But why hadn't he come? If it says this in the Talmud, and there's so many scriptures and other things written that show that he should have come, where is he? Why hasn't he come? So he began to think, can it be that the coming of the Messiah has passed? And the promise has not yet been fulfilled? Or did I miss it? Did we miss it? And in his mind he thought, if the holy writings indeed predicted that the Mashiach, the anointed one, would come within these certain time parameters that are spoken of in the scriptures and in the Talmud, and if he had not yet come, what other conclusion could we reach? Because a Messiah who never comes is maybe not such a big deal. But a God who spells out his promises in this great detail in his word and is then framed by these details and these time restraints is then a promise breaker. And that's a frightening thought. that God would be a promise breaker. And it's tragic. And this is true whether or not you believe or not believe, religious or not. You have to believe that God keeps his promises. So Rabbi Cohn believed that the God who described in the Jewish Bible, or the God who is described in the Jewish Bible, is by definition, we know that God is all-knowing, that God is all-powerful, that God is just, that God is good, and he is deserving of trust. But what if God is not all these things, he thought? What if God is real but a liar and a fraud? These were all the things that were going through his mind, because the scriptures are saying one thing, and the commentaries in the Talmud were saying the same thing. And so where is the Messiah? He should have come by now. And it would take a brave person to explore such a shocking possibility. And he was such a person. That's exactly what Rabbi Leopold Cohn, the founder of Chosen People Ministries, was willing to do more than 120 years ago. He was willing to check out the scriptures and believe what the scriptures said and believe that God was all-knowing, all-powerful and just and good and deserving of trust. Now, he was very perplexed by all of this, as you can imagine. He was trained as a rabbi. The Messiah is coming. But he was also indoctrinated with all of his life that this Yeshua was not the Messiah. This Jesus, this Christ was not the Messiah of the Jewish people. And that a Messiah would come. So he had to kind of break some of the strongholds, the barriers, the conceptions that he had, brave enough to be able and willing to study the scriptures to find out what they really were saying. And that's what we need to do as well. Don't listen to me and what other people tell you what the scripture says. You check out the scriptures. You determine the truth in the scriptures. Because if I come up here and I tell you something that the scriptures says this, or I twist it around and do some crazy stuff, don't believe me. Believe God and believe his word. That's why so many people have been led astray by televangelists and people on the radio and get into so many cults because they don't read what the word of God says and they follow crazy doctrine. God has given us his word to love, to study, to understand, to grow in. Do that. Don't listen. Don't even listen to me unless I tell you exactly what the word of God says. Thank you, Lord. So again, like I said, he was very confused, perplexed, and he began to study of the original prediction of what the prophets said. But the thought of it terrified him. He was scared. Because there are rabbis in rabbinical schools and seminaries that say, don't read these certain scriptures because you won't understand them. They'll confuse you. And don't believe that Isaiah 53 and Zechariah 9 and Psalm 118 and all these are speaking of Messiah because they're not. And so he was going against what he had been indoctrinated with. But then there was one of the rabbis who wrote in the Gemara, which was the second part of the Talmud. And he said he even went so far as to curse the one who would compute the time when the Messiah would come. And it says in the Gemara, cursed are the bones of him who calculates the time of the end. So again, this was frightening for Rabbi Cohn because there was a curse. Don't study these end time things. These are not things you should delve into. Stay away from these things. So he was faced with the question, shall I believe God's word or must I shut my eyes to the truth? And the same for us. Are you going to believe your eye, God's word, or shut your eyes to what the truth really is. And so it was with trembling hands, and he was trembling. He was scared to do this, expecting at any moment that he was going to be struck by a bolt from heaven, but yet he was eager, and it was an irresistible eagerness that he had. He opened the book of the prophet Daniel, and he began to read Daniel 9 because he knew that the book of Daniel revealed more about the Messiah than any other book in the Bible. So with trembling hands, he opened up Daniel. So what is it that Rabbi Leopold Cohn, the founder of Chosen People's Ministries, found? What did he discover? He discovered four startling facts about the identity of the Messiah. And I'm going to tell you what these four facts are. This week we're going to cover number one and number two. And next week we're going to cover number three and number four. And we've got some other additional material next week that's going to bring it to a really cool conclusion of this whole thing. And these four things he discovered, these startling facts, were number one, the Messiah's appearance was locked into a fixed time. In other words, the Messiah had to come within a set, locked-in period of time. There's no way that he could come before this time or after. He had to come within this set time period. Secondly, that fixed time was while the second temple was still standing. That kind of begins to lock us in to the end part of it, because we know the second temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Third, the Messiah had to come from a very specific lineage or genealogy that was only verifiable through the temple records. In other words, if the temple was destroyed and there were no temple records, how could he be verified to be from this lineage, in this case from the tribe of Judah, if there's no records to verify it? So there had to be specific lineage verifiable through temple records. And fourthly, the Messiah had to die a violent death. So these are the four things he identified as he went through the book of Daniel. And the details of these facts together present some of the strongest evidence that he had, in fact, already come. As he went through all of this, he came to that inevitable conclusion that the Messiah had already come. So in the remainder of today's portion of this, we're going to look at these four facts, or at least the first two of them. So let's look at fact one. The Messiah's appearance was locked into a fixed time. Again, this will be on the website if you need to listen again and get some of the finer points. You can get it on the website. It'll be there. So, when will the Messiah come? We can know that answer in great detail from the book of Daniel. Daniel tells us when the Messiah is going to come. But a lot of you didn't know that, but Daniel does tell you that. The prophet who lived during the time of the exile in Babylon received a vision that the Messiah would come 483 years after the command to restore Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And we read this in Daniel 9, if you have your scriptures with me. Does everyone have scriptures with them today? You know, when you come to the synagogue without your scriptures, it's like coming to synagogue without shoes on or without pants or dress on. You're not fully clothed. You're not dressed. You're coming naked. Okay? So turn with me to Daniel 9, verse 25. And it says, "Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One," that's the Messiah, the Mashiach in Hebrew, "the ruler comes, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now those 7 weeks means 49 years, 7 weeks of years. They're 49 years and 62 weeks, which are 434 years. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 weeks or 62 years, the anointed one, the Mashiach, will be cut off, killed, but not for himself. So within this scripture here, we actually get a total of 483 years. Now the clock on these 69 weeks, these are 69 units of 7 years. 69 units of 7 years began ticking when Artaxerxes I issued a decree to Nehemiah, who was the governor, to rebuild the temple and to restore the holy city of Jerusalem in the 12th year of his reign. We see that in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. From that point in time, in the month of Nisan, which is the month of Passover, which is March or April, and we know the year is either 444 or 445 BCE, the 69 weeks began. And according to the angel's prophecy, there must be from that point of time until the death of the Messiah, 69 weeks of years, or a total of 483 years. So when that decree came out to Nehemiah, go ahead and restore, rebuild Jerusalem and the temple until the Messiah is killed or cut off, is 483 years. March 5th, in the year 444 BCE, on the first day, which is Nisan 1, plus the 69 weeks times 7, times 360 days that are in a year, according to the Jewish reckoning, due to a lunar calendar, comes out to 173,880 days. So when that decree came out, until the Messiah was to be cut off or killed, was 173,880 days, according to Jewish reckoning. If you go from the time that decree was issued to Nehemiah to the time of Yeshua's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, as recorded in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 44, you're going to see that the Messiah would appear or have to appear by 33 CE or AD. He would have to have appeared by that date. It gives you the exact number of days. And also, this is when, as I mentioned, he appeared into Jerusalem, that triumphal entry in Luke 19, but also in Zechariah 9, where it says, "Rejoice with your heart, daughter of Zion, shout out loud, daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you." This is speaking of Yeshua. "He is righteous and he is victorious, yet he is humble. He's riding on a donkey," yes, on a lowly donkey's colt. And we know that's how Yeshua entered into Jerusalem. Now, this is just one of many possible calculations. It could be a little bit different based on a year or two. There's different ways that you could figure this, but the most common way of figuring it is the way I just gave you, with 69 weeks of years times the number of days in a year, according to Jewish reckoning, it takes you to the time when Yeshua is entering Jerusalem, where he will be shortly crucified. Now, if the Messiah was not on earth 483 years after the decree was issued to rebuild Jerusalem, then Daniel was a false prophet. That's the only conclusion that you can come to, that Daniel was a false prophet. And his book has no business at all to be in the Hebrew Scriptures, because he was a false prophet if the Messiah had not come. But if Daniel was correct, and his prophecy was fulfilled, then who was the Messiah of whom he spoke? And this again, what Rabbi Leopold Cohen was trying to figure out. Who could it have been? If Daniel prophecy was true. History does not record anyone else other than Yeshua who was from that time period who claimed to be the Messiah, who again also was from the tribe of Judah and met all the qualifications. So this really began to get him going because Daniel's prophecy has to be true. Otherwise, it can't be in the Bible. Now, the second fact, or the second thing he discovered, was that the second temple would still be standing when the Messiah came. Now, Daniel predicted that after the appearance of the Messiah, in chapter 9, verse 26, it says that the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So the city, Jerusalem, and the sanctuary, the temple, would be destroyed. That's part of the prophecy in Daniel 9. And we know that that occurred when Titus, who was Roman emperor, his Roman legions marched into Jerusalem in 70 CE or 70 AD, destroying both the city of Jerusalem and also destroying the temple. And the Talmud, again, the writings, the commentaries of our rabbis, teaches that at that time people believed that the Messiah had already come, but his appearance was concealed from the Jews until they rendered, or until they were rendered more worthy of his appearance. Other passages support the understanding that the Messiah would come while the temple was still standing. For example, the rabbis recognize Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26, that those verses would be sung to the Messiah when he arrived. When he appeared. Isn't it interesting that when Yeshua came into Jerusalem, those very verses from Psalm 118 were sung to him? O Lord, save us, Hosanna. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he, Baruch Abba Hashem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, the temple, we bless you. This was sung to Yeshua. We read that in Matthew 21:9, Luke chapter 19, verse 38, and John chapter 12, verse 13, when Messiah came into Jerusalem, they sang this to him. And the rabbi said that these would be sung to the Messiah when he arrived. And the only way they could bless the Messiah from the house of the Lord, the temple, was if the temple was still standing. So all these things are starting to come together. Now, Haggai, who was one of the prophets, who was in Jerusalem as the second temple was being built, made the messianic prediction that the glory of the last temple is to be greater than that of the first temple. That's in Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. And Malachi confirmed that in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, where he says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the angel of the covenant, the Messiah, whom you delight in. Behold, he has already come, says the Lord of hosts." And when Rabbi Leopold Cohen read these words from Malachi, his entire being began to shake, and he was like electrified. And he came to attention, and every sense of his perception was awakened, and he says these words, "He has already come. He has already come. He has already come." And stricken with a feeling of awe, he fell down to the floor upon his face, and out of his innermost parts came the words of prayer and adoration, "My Lord, my Messiah, Yeshua." He said those words. God revealed through his word, through his scripture, through Daniel, through Zechariah, through Haggai, through Malachi, because he was open to study the word and not listen to what the rabbis had told him, to study it on his own. And Daniel proved it. He was that time restraint that the Messiah had to come within that 483 years and the temple still had to be standing. All these things, all these facts, all these scriptures, all these prophecies all came together and he said, my Lord, my Messiah, Yeshua. Wow. And from this, he said this, from this day on, I will serve you no matter what the cost. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, it was at a great cost. He was a rabbi with a congregation. He would be ostracized by the whole Jewish community because he was believing in the Messiah or the Christ of the Gentiles. That's what it was looked upon, not of the Jewish people. This is kind of similar to when Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, had the blinders removed from his eyes, and the voice from heaven said, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And Leopold Colon was also suffer for the name of Messiah. Now, according to Daniel, the temple would not only be standing at the Messiah's appearance, but it would soon be destroyed. And that temple, the second temple, which was originally built by Ezra and Zerubbabel, and then beautified by Herod, was where Yeshua did most of his teachings to the people and made startling claims about who he was. Now, the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, records the painful words of Yeshua to those who spoke of how beautiful the temple looked after its refurbishing under Herod. In Luke 21:6, it says, these things which you see, the day will come in which not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. He was predicting the destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem. Yeshua is referring here to Daniel's prophecy being fulfilled before their very eyes. And less than 40 years later, the destruction of the temple was so thorough that to this day, the exact location of the sanctuary is unknown. We still don't know exactly where the temple was. There's an area called the Temple Mount area. There's an area where the mosque, the Dome of the Rock is. It's not really clear exactly where the temple stood because the destruction was so thorough that every stone, every brick, everything was removed and tossed and damaged, and that there's no way to even know where it was exactly now. Daniel's prophecy came to be that the Messiah came before the destruction of it, and he came within that 483 years. I'm going to leave you today hanging in your seats here for the next part. Next 2 weeks, we're going to go over the next two amazing facts with a lot more interesting stuff I've added in there. And then we're going to draw some conclusions. So I recommend that you come here next week to hear the dramatic conclusion, same time, same channel, same synagogue, same place. You be here for that. But to me, this is an amazing thing, how true God's word is, how you can count on God's word. Amen. That God's word is yes and amen. What God said in his word is true. It comes to pass. No man, no nation, no devastation, nothing can stop God's word from being true and coming to pass. And this should be encouraging to you, because if this one man could put his trust and faith in God, saying that your word has to be true and I have to believe your word, then we as well have to say the same thing. Lord, your word is true. What you said is true. I believe your word completely and totally. I'm not going to listen to what anyone else says, anyone else's fears, or anyone else's doubts, or anyone else's lies that they may speak. I'm going to follow, believe, and trust your word. And where God says in his word is true, we have to believe it's true. God promises healing. Healing is true. God promises to bless us. Blessings are true. And you are to receive God's healing. You are to receive God's blessing. And know that he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And it's going to come to pass. Keep your eyes on the Lord, not on your circumstances, not on your situation, because God has something special for you. Amen? Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.